Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to all the folks out there running across that green grass so early in the morning, feeling the dew upon your feet. Good morning to you, so very neat. Good morning to all the ocean swimmers swimming out past the mark. Gonna get eaten by a shark. It's 7-Eleven. That's right, it's 7-Eleven. Go get a Slurpee. Right, 7-Eleven. It is almost 3:30 a.m. here in Scompton, Utah, Mountain Standard Time. And it is July the 11th, 7-Eleven, 2023. Go get yourself a Slurpee. Go get a Slurpee and go walk on down the street with your Slurpee. Slurp on your Slurpee in whatever 90 or 100 degree weather. It's summertime, time for Slurpees, time for feeling cool. I'm going to drink a little coffee here, if that's okay with you. Before I get into the main topics of today, I want to talk about a movie called Sound of Freedom. Now, full disclosure, I haven't seen the movie yet, so I can't really give you a movie review. If you've seen the movie, feel free to send me emails and tell me what you think. This isn't really about the movie as much as all the noise around the movie. And when I say noise, I mean a lot of noise. So much noise that it's hard for me to believe that it's all 100% natural. Sorry. You know, for a movie so attacked, so criticized, so lampooned by the powers that be, for a movie so targeted, it seems to have the best PR of any film I know of in recent history, with the exception of the reboot of the Star Wars films. And in this sense, Jim Caviezel, the actor that plays the main character in Sound of Freedom, seems a lot like Luke Skywalker, right? I don't know. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I haven't seen the movie. I'm not going to have a pre-opinion of something I don't even have a proper opinion of, but what I will tell you is if the movie doesn't talk about the history of the Catholic Church and its involvement in ritualistic child abuse and sacrifice, then the movie is incorrect. If it only focuses on the CIA, then the movie is incorrect. There is a history of abuse just in the United States government, vis-a-vis Native Americans, that goes back 200 years. There's a history of abusing indigenous Americans for two fucking centuries. The CIA has been around since what? 1948 Bo Blimp Doc? My guess is the history of abuse, ritualistic abuse, in the United States government goes back a sight bit more than that. So if you're one of these people say, well, Dan, you know, it's the CIA. No, no. And as far as the Catholic Church goes, if you ignore its pagan roots, its history of ritualistic child abuse goes back at least 1,600 years. That's a lot longer than the CIA. And yeah, Pope Francis went on his apology tour of Canada recently. In recent years, he went to Canada and apologized for all the terrible things that the Catholic Church did there. But the problem is Pope Francis himself is embroiled in child abuse scandals. Either he or people who worked for him were involved in such scandals. And if you say, well, you can't hold the people responsible who work for him, yeah, you can. When I was being trained as a United States Army officer, at least when it came to them telling me the bullshit, they said it was my responsibility. If some private, if some sergeant does something, it's my responsibility. Guess what? It's the Pope's responsibility. So that kind of an argument doesn't wash. It doesn't wash that the bishop didn't keep track of his priests. It doesn't wash that a church so invested in the confessional didn't know what the fuck was going on. That doesn't work. And then you have to consider the fact that during the Second World War, the Catholic Church was rather duplicitous. It played all sides. It participated with the Nazis. It participated with, at the time, what would be the predecessor of the CIA. And that's the OSS. The Catholic Church assisted in Nazis escaping Germany. These are people that were expert in managing human beings as slaves until they died. They figured out how many calories a slave needed until they died. They figured out how to get 6 months out of a slave and then just dump the body someplace. These are people the Catholic Church helped to escape from Nazi Germany. So before you go down this rabbit hole of thinking that ritualistic abuse of humans, specifically children, is only connected to the CIA, let me be the first person to tell you that's 100% bullshit. And if the Sound of Freedom doesn't mention this once, doesn't mention the Catholic Church, doesn't mention that history, then it's probably more of a whitewash. You know, it probably serves more than one agenda, but it serves the agenda of a whitewash. But once, again, I have to say, look at all the noise. Look at all the press. The negative press is more powerful than the positive press, especially right now. His movie, Mel Gibson's movie, the work of Jim Caviezel, it's not being buried. Giant spotlights are being turned on it. Now, does that mean the movie's a good movie or a bad movie? No. But the idea that it's somehow being attacked because it's in the news almost all the time right now, it's absurd. It's crazy. It's not being attacked. It's being promoted, shithead. I would ask you, if you go to see this movie as a Sovietologist, ask yourself what parts of it could be true and which parts are false. Okay? Any of this QAnon shit is bullshit. It's CIA. I mean, that's my opinion. If you want to believe in Q and the secret army of Donald Trump someplace in the Grand Canyon guarding thousands of tons of gold, this is your time to waste. It is. I can waste my time in Scompton, Utah, and you can waste your time pretending that Donald Trump's going to save you. He's not. It's your time to waste. I don't fucking care. I really don't. It's your life. If you want to believe fairy tales and cartoons, you can. The practical reality, before I close this topic out, is that the Catholic Church has been involved in the abuse of children for hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of years. So if you're going to do any type of film about ritualistic child abuse, child trafficking, and you exclude the Catholic Church, you are telling, at best, half-truths. In reality, you're probably telling lies. Next topic. Dan, you're just... What am I? Somebody who's a little bit dubious of all this press that this movie's getting? Somebody who's a little bit dubious of outsider context and outsider assignment when clearly the film is getting all the press it needs to do well? Tell me exactly who and what I am. And understand, the film's not being given away for free. It's not. People aren't simply being allowed to see it. Yeah, they had some free ticket giveaways. Every fucking movie does that. But I'm pretty certain most of the people seeing the movie are paying cash. This is a film they could have put on the internet. They could have allowed anyone to download it. That's the way you do it for free. This is a film that they could have simply made available. They wouldn't charge one person $1. Anybody that wants to see it can go see it. That's the way you do a film like this. Sorry. If it's really about doing the right thing, you don't so much focus on making a buck. I'm sorry if this is kindergarten ethics that you don't understand, especially if you're a Christian, but that's the way it is. On the other hand, if this is just more psyop bullshit, then yeah, it's working. It's really working. Kind of makes me think the next shoe's about to drop. Very, very soon. Here is an article from the New York Post. Headline, scantily clad women caught on camera brawling at luxurious Vegas hotel. This was published yesterday and written by David Proper. At least four women were involved in a wild caught-on-camera brawl near a set of poker tables at the luxurious Las Vegas hotel over the weekend. One woman was even pulled from a motorcycle scooter inside Encore at Wynn Las Vegas as a security guard and a bystander tried to break up the massive fight Sunday evening. The video starts rolling mid-fight with two women, one in jean shorts or jorts, and the other in a two-piece dress with her thong exposed, struggling on the ground as they duke it out. A man in a Nike t-shirt rushes in to hold off a woman dressed in cream sweatpants from joining the fracas as he then attempts to break up the scrum on the floor of the fancy hotel. I've done scrum. I've done agile. It doesn't look like this. Oh, but he's using the term a different way. Fuck you, I know. But as he turns his attention to the two brawling women, the woman in sweats lunges for another woman standing nearby and appears to throw a haymaker, the footage shows. The man is quickly able to grab two of the women, the ones in the two-piece and jean shorts or jorts, and separate them from one another as he pushes them against the wall. He then fends off the woman in the white top from reaching those two women as he attempts to keep the peace. Oh boy. Get back, he can be heard saying, as another bystander taking in the wild action quips, damn. In more footage of the violent back and forth, the woman in the dress attempts to drag the woman in cream sweatpants off a motorized scooter before a security guard and the man in the Nike interjects. Damn, another spectator can be heard saying, crazy. Wow. Other footage of the incident from another angle. Shows part of the brawling taking place right next to rows of Wynn poker tables as players tried to keep their focus next to the commotion. The Las Vegas Metro Police Department told the Post no arrests were made, but at least one citation was issued. It's unclear how many citations were given out. As far as I'm concerned, you can file a story like that under crazy. And here's my view on the press at this point, the news. I don't really consider it to be an accurate representation of reality. I would consider most of the press to include the alt press. And frankly, this includes all the various Q movies that'll come out, like Sound of Freedom. It's a form of manipulation. It's a form of control. Does that mean the story's bullshit? No. I think this story could very well be true. I mean, the thing I said in January 2020 holds true today. Towards the end, they're going to use the truth as a kind of weapon. They'll use all the chaos and all the pain as a way to keep people confused. at the end, they'll use the noise and the smoke they create themselves to cover their escape. It's called popping smoke. In fact, when you think about the film Sound of Freedom or a fucking story like this, that's a lot of smoke. That's a lot of noise. That's a lot to hide under, to hide and escape. People stewing their juices. What are they going to do? You see the movie Sound of Freedom. What are you going to do? Are you going to go underground? Are you going to find the pedophile rings? And if you're a Catholic and the pedophile ring is across the street at the Catholic church, what are you going to do? What are you going to do if it's the Catholic school? That's a good question, motherfucker. And chances are, you're going to vote for Trump. What's Mel Gibson and Jim Caviezel going to recommend you do? They're going to say, vote for Trump. Or RFK Jr. But the point is, they're going to suggest voting as your best course of action. All the time you got left, right? All the wonderful years of your life, that sarcasm that you have left, they're going to suggest voting. I'm going to tell you, a story like this is probably true. Doesn't necessarily help to think about it too much, though. Next topic. Dan, that's crazy. You're a crazy man, am I? Am I crazy? I was at the grocery store and the attendant wiped her butt with a scorn rag and then began checking me out. She smeared fecal matter and vagina butter on my eggs and milk and cheese. Then she muttered, "Do you have a discount number?" And I said, "Yes, motherfucker." My discount number is 28. My discount number is 28, motherfucker. And she just stared at me. I grabbed my hag food and left. Chivas, my friend at the Maverick, has started selling stirred corn after midnight out back. You take this stuff and you mix it with gasoline and dead penguins and you end up with frugscane. And this lights up your mind and allows you to commune with eerie forces not far from Sclevenville. Chivas just got done with his parole. He'd stolen a car and driven it into a rest home. Chivas was awarded a lesser sentence because the 12 old people he killed, well, you know what? They had COVID-19, so he was flattening the curve. That's what his lawyer said. Shit's falling apart, baby. I met my old girlfriend Dundee at the cafe last weekend. She got done washing pig trucks and was wanting a nice date, so we ate chicken chunks and potato eyes. Her eyes grew large when the taco surprise showed up. Dundee got sick, real sick. Dundee vomited all night and then started bleeding from her bonus hole. She couldn't stop thinking it was over. I told her we didn't know. No one knew. Not when it's really over. I told her they could replace her insides with PVC and old broken alarm clocks and empty spray cans. I told her we could save up and get her one of those new synthetic digestive tracks. The one with the cartridges and the gasoline flare mechanism. I told her I loved her, and it didn't matter that her ass fire was bad or that the gases were making me sick too. But she just wandered off into an alfalfa field later that night. She just left me. Dundee was discovered days later in a dumpster. She'd blown off her head with a shotgun. On a piece of paper taped to her shirt, it read, "I did most of the work for you. Just take me to the fucking dump." Crap's getting real, baby. I saw old Sklig at the rail yard. Sklig had been lurking near rail car 004, the one where the old hobos and the wanderers congregate. He'd been working the Eek mines outside of Elko in Nevada. Sklig was hired to set charges and drill holes and find chunks of hooker gold in the debris of every landslide. He worked hard and spent his weekends hiking around the hills and mountains and surfing the dingus paths where old Besto wolves hunt the younglings, all huddled together in the fear cave. Sklig was caught by someone serving papers. He'd left his 8 wives in Ohio and never got around to updating his address. They fought hard for several hours. They fought hard for several hours with rocks and knives and bats and sticks. When it was over, Sklig was dead, and the land was drenched with new blood. Strange wildflowers began to bloom in the aftermath, and the desert thrived again. Stuff's weird, man. Mexicans and Italians? They steal everything they find, and they set fire to the old folks. They sell squink to kids at the blind school and mock the old gods and the new. Sure, at first they seem okay, but after a while they're checking out your stuff and measuring you for what they can take, who they can screw. The town was a good town before those Mexicans and Italians got here. Now the Mexicans and Italians have destroyed it. What are we gonna do? Shit's getting real. Danes? Danish people? Everywhere they live, there is nothing but poison and polluted lands. They bring smiles and kringla and pasteurized diabetes dreams, marinating in Copenhagen nightmares. Danish People Ruin Everything was the original title of Shakespeare's Hamlet, but the Jews in charge of England rejected it. Anti-Semitism. Danish people will smile and laugh and walk the streets with their blonde kids. They sell crack cocaine to the Turks, and the Turkish biker gangs are their street lords, enforcing their rule over the slime of the world. Danes are responsible for 78% of all child trafficking worldwide and 89% of all juvenile diabetes. They seem so nice while they're chopping up babies and feeding them to sharks for their holiday entertainment. It's fucked up what the Danish people have done to the world, but what can be done? Did you know that Schrodinger was a Dane? He was caught torturing cats in 1929. He claimed it was for science. But we know what Danes do with cats. Did you know that over 10,000 cats were killed to prove Schrodinger's beliefs correct? What monsters. White people? Who the fuck are they? All pale and ghost-like, moving about in the shadows, afraid of harming their alabaster skin. They mock the sun because the sun cures the disease, and the white man holds his disease close to his heart. He pretends to be so many things, but he's a liar. He speaks with many tongues. He sells disease blankets to indigenous tribes. The white man is the homunculus of twilight horror and spends his days collecting objects and gold and other things to hoard. He won't share. He'll watch your baby starve. That's the fucking white man. Thank you. What the hell, white man? Chinese people can't be trusted. Indian people are happy and lazy. Russian people are angry and drunk. Canadians? Canadians? Canucks? What do I need to say, butthole? But the Irish are cool. The Irish are good. The world would be nothing but silence. Would be nothing but sadness. Would be nothing but pain. If not for our ginger smiles. And that's still working. So you should thank us. Craven races. Fuck. Yeah. Crap's falling apart, baby. Probably shouldn't blame people for that, though. Like, you know, Mexicans and Italians and Danish. Well, Danish people. I don't know. I don't know about the Danish people. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. On the Death Star, the more you have, the more they have over you. On the Death Star, the more you own, the more they own you. On the Death Star, the more you make, the more they can take. On the Death Star, the bigger your house, the bigger the louse. What does that mean, Dan? Are you going to beat up on rich people? No. Nope. I would say what I think Jesus would say. There's nothing wrong with wealth. There's nothing wrong with owning a home. There's nothing wrong with having money. But I would say also, in the United States of America at this point, if you have a lot of money, there's a good likelihood you had to do one or two really shitty things to get there. Sorry. There's a very good likelihood you're owned. You're controlled. You may not even know it. It may be just the manipulation, but in that sense, you're in a lane. You own a lot of stuff. You have a lot of 401k. That's something they can take. You have a house. Oh, but you know you're paying property taxes. You don't really own it. You have a car, but you have to have a driver's license. There's nothing that you think you own on the Death Star that they can't take from you. They can take everything to include your life. Ask, you know, Randy Weaver. Ask people who've come up against the United States government. If they want to take everything you own, they can. And they can erase you from existence. They can take everything you own, and unlike Randy Weaver, you know, unlike Waco, unlike Sound of Freedom, no one's ever going to fucking hear about you. No one's ever going to know you fucking existed. Did you know that's the primary MO of the United States Deep State? It's not to, like, publicize you and turn you into an icon or something to remember. It is simply to wipe you out. And if people accidentally hear about your death somehow, some way, then yeah, they spin a tale of conspiracy theory. They tell stories of fakers and liars and ultimately their own projection. On the Death Star, the more you have, the more they have over you. And that's a simple reality. I don't own shit. I don't have shit. I don't have a house or a pot to piss in, almost literally. And in a matter of weeks, I'm going to be in the streets, and probably it's not going to go that great after that. It doesn't really bother me that much. It's a simple reality. But at least I can say I'm not owned. Nobody owns me. Nobody controls me. And the only Lord that I report to, the only King that I worship and try to obey, is the one in heaven. Which is the way it should be. You don't need a bishop. You don't need a pope. You don't need a president. You don't need a king. You don't need anybody between yourself and Jesus Christ. Did any other Christian ever tell you that? To include a minister. If you're a Christian, if you're a disciple of Christ, guess what? You're also a minister. If you're a Christian and a disciple of Christ, guess what? You're also expected to understand prophecy. You're expected to do these things. The idea that you sign these things away to special people doesn't fit with any of the Bible, Old or New Testament, really. You're responsible. You're the one supposed to be making the choices. If someone is preaching death and destruction and the Lord says fight back, guess what? That's your job. And that was true in the Old Testament and the New. Imagine being a prophet of the Old Testament and being told that your own family, your own people are working against God. And it gets worse because you'll fight against them and you'll preach the word and you'll try to get them to change and they're going to try to hunt you down and kill you. That's the Old Testament. That's the Old Testament prophet. Someone that gets thrown in jail or killed or gets burnt alive. The story of the prophet is not a new story. The story of the prophet's always the same. And guess what? On the Death Star, if you choose to be someone who does the right thing, you're probably not going to be remembered by anyone else but Jesus. And the good news is, that's the only person that needs to remember. Next topic. But Dan, can't I make a documentary? You can make whatever fucking documentary you want to. I don't care. Headline, 1/3 of Seattle residents may flee city over a crime and costs. Okay, this is written by nom de plume Tyler Durden, published Sunday, July the 9th. I'm gonna drink a little bit more coffee if that's okay with you. 1 in 3 residents of Seattle may leave the Democratic stronghold. You should say house flipper stronghold, shithead. Due to skyrocketing crime and the high cost of living, according to Seattle Times Suffolk University poll published last month. Approximately 33% of those polled said they were seriously considering moving out of the city versus 67% who said they had no plans to move. Among those who say they're considering leaving, 30% blame rising costs, while 34% cited public safety as their primary concern. Of those considering leaving, renters were the majority, followed by homeowners. Those with lower incomes, particularly those making under $20,000, were more likely to blame the soaring home prices. The same group, understandably, also reported experiencing housing insecurity and homelessness at higher rates. In May, Washington Governor Jay Inslee signed 10 bills aimed at solving the housing crisis by making homeownership more affordable. These people are so fucking stupid. Those in the highest income bracket who make $250,000 per year are more likely to own homes, reported that public safety was their primary concern. 80% of those who are seriously considering moving rated Seattle poorly as a place to live, while 66% said they don't feel safe in their own neighborhood. That said, among 2/3 of those polled who say they have no plans to move, 88% rated the city as excellent compared to, you know, Bangalore, while 70% said they felt safe compared to Beijing. The cost of living in Seattle metro region has exploded over 20% over the last 3 years, with the area's home price index now 40% higher than in 2018, while wages have failed to keep up with these increases in costs. Highly paid tech and finance workers are skewing the city's income average, according to the Epic Times. Moving patterns revealed these residents were more likely to move out of the country's wealthiest neighborhoods, while lower-income residents moved less often. They were more likely to move out of the Puget Sound region altogether. About 65% of residents considering leaving said the city's ability to progress on homelessness had worsened, and 60% rated the quality of education as poor. According to new Census Bureau data, many people are moving to Florida, which has experienced a population growth of over 22 million people from 2021 to 2022, Bo Blimp Doc. The 1.9% increase was the largest of any U.S. state over this period, exceeding Idaho and South Carolina, which saw their populations grow by 1.8 and 1.7. The phrasing of this is bad, Epic Times. While Florida has often been among the largest gaining states, this was the first time since 1957 that Florida has been the state with the largest percent increase in population, said U.S. Census Bureau demographer Christy Wilder. Okay, Dan, why'd you read about this? Well, as you well know, I left Seattle a couple years ago. And even though it's not been perfect, far from it, my time here in Utah has been some of the most peaceful, relaxing, and not so crazy time in my entire fucking life. And it's not just about location. Location's a factor, but really, with my recent experience with the cops, it really isn't about location. It's more about the fact that if you have fewer people, you have fewer problems. I would argue the relative ratios and percentages of batshit crazy are as bad here in Scompton as they are in Seattle. There just aren't that many people in Scompton. And because there aren't that many people, you just don't have that many assholes. And because there aren't that many people, the few good people, they actually shine. They shine brighter. They're not so afraid. They don't huddle and hide. They don't sheepishly and in a cowardly way put on their coffee filters. In fact, I rarely see people wearing coffee filters here. That's a positive. It makes it less stressful. Before I left Seattle, a person I know, a person that I won't mention specifically because it could be daggers to another person, that person connected the death of a friend to my believing the COVID was bullshit. And this was at a restaurant where we walked in with our coffee filters on, and then we sat down and took our coffee filters off. We walked in with the coffee filters on because that's what Fauci said you should do, and then we sat down and took off our fucking coffee filters. And then after that, this person I know connected the death of their friend in a way that made it seem like I had to do with their death to the fact that I think COVID-19 was 100% bullshit. I'm never going back to that city. Okay? There are many things I'll do in the next few weeks before I ever go back to Seattle. Let's just put it that way. Okay? There are many steps I can take. I've meditated on this. I've prayed on this. The Lord looked out for me to get me here. Who knows what the Lord wants me to do next? But if you think I'm going back to that shithole, it's not going to happen. I think Seattle's doomed. I think Seattle is looking at a future that's a lot worse than even Detroit. And that's really just a nice way of putting it. So good luck, Seattle. Good fucking luck. I don't actually mean it, but good luck. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. Block or do not block. Passive aggressive muting is. Block or do not block. Passive aggressive muting is. Block or do not block. Passive aggressive muting is. Ha, Yoda. I am not going to spend much time on this. You know, I've been doing experiments on Twitter ever since Elon Musk took over, you know, what, 7-8 months ago or whatever. I've been doing little experiments to include paying $8 to get my blue check mark. And what I can tell you is it's more or less the same shithole that it was before. Nothing has changed. And in a way, that's good news. I mean, in my January 2020 podcast, Popping Smoke, I said they would open up social media at the end. Well, I don't think we're at the end yet because social media is still very much controlled. It's a question of timing. Like, my guess is when they open up social media, we're talking days, not weeks. Days, not weeks. And they just don't give a fuck. Okay, they don't give a fuck. They're not going to ship you away. They're not going to take you to a FEMA camp. They're not going to drop food or water bottles. Many of you will be staring at your fucking phone, hoping it turns back on again weeks after you haven't had any food to eat. That's what's coming. Good luck with it, though, right? Seattle's fine, but make sure on social media you block people. That's the key. Next topic. Here's an article from Zero Hedge, a headline, Corporate Bankruptcy. I gotta drink some more of this coffee. Headline, Corporate Bankruptcies Reach Highest Levels Since 2010. Oh, my mouth isn't working well this morning. Corporate bankruptcies reach highest level since 2010. This was written by Andrew Moran for the Epic Times. New data show that a growing number of U.S. firms are collapsing under the weight of higher interest rates as corporate bankruptcies reach their highest first half level since 2010. In the first 6 months of 2023, there were 340 corporate bankruptcies, topping every other comparable span in 13 years. You know what? I'm going to leave it right here. You can read the rest of this on your own. The link is in the notes, okay? This next article is also from Zero Hedge, and I'm not going to read much of it. Headline, Cash-strapped consumers resort to dumpster diving to save on grocery bill. Dan, what's that about? What are you getting at there? Well, that's not my headline. That's Zero Hedge. Okay. Now, why would I connect a story about dumpster diving to a story about bankruptcies? Well, the first question is, what do you think the purpose of these stories is? I mean, ignore the fact they might be true. They might very well be true, but what's the purpose? It seems like one purpose is to scare and stress people out. It doesn't really give you anything useful to do. What do you do with people are going into dumpsters to eat? What do you do with that? What do you do with the corporate bankruptcy story? How do you process that? Do you put it into the category of President Biden's a shithead, so if we vote for RFK Jr. or Donald Trump again, it'll fix everything? Or do you put it into the category of, yeah, crap is falling apart. And it's starting to fall apart faster. It really is. If you have eyes to see, if you can observe the world around you, it's not linear. It wasn't linear 10 years ago, but it was slow enough in that historical sense that even as a non-linear thing, people just didn't notice it. I mean, I noticed it. A lot of other people noticed it 10 years ago. If you don't notice it now, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know? There's an alarm going off, and the alarm is saying, if you live someplace that for every person that has 6 months of food, there are 1,000 people that don't, you should probably move. If you live someplace that for every person that has the ability to purify their water, there are 10,000 people who don't know how to, if you think you're going to be the great hero that leads the masses out of the chaos, are you fucking kidding me? What's coming to places like Seattle is going to be a mixture between Pol Pot, THX 1138, and Mad Max. It's not going to be pretty. It's going to be ugly as fuck. Every fucking city in this country will go down a Pol Pot road for a few weeks before people just start killing each other. And then the Pol Pot phase is over. Like I said, I don't figure Pol Pot phase, commie phase, is going to last very long. It never does. It lasts until the food runs out. So if the Pol Pot phase starts about the time the food is gone, it doesn't last long. That's good news in a way. But that does mean you jump immediately to the neighbor killing neighbor over a can of beans phase. And then probably within a month or two, you enter the Leningrad phase where you finished off all the book candy. And now you got to kind of work on the people around you, size them up. Who's going to be the first for the long pig rack? The distance between where you are today and people barbecuing their neighbors, if you live in a city, is measured by 120 days. And that's best case scenario. That's 6 months. Okay? From the very first moment that there's no more food at the grocery store, you have about 6 months before people are eating each other if you live in a city. Now, still I'd say you have zero fucking chance at that point of selling your home. Do you fucking understand what I just said? If you wanted to sell your home, put it on the market now and get the fuck out of the city. By the time the groceries are empty, it's too fucking late. And if you think it's going to be gradual, if you think you're going to get warning, your thinking is wrong. They don't give a fuck what you do to each other. And as far as the reset goes, that's a lot of bullshit for people also to cling on to. The hopefulness that, well, they're going to want to rule the world, but they're going to want to feed the ones that are still alive. You know, the ones that the vaccine didn't kill? No, historically, the number one way governments kill people is with famine. That's what's going to kill most of you fuckers. And then you are going to kill each other, which, you know, is also a knock-on effect of famine. But you ride into it what you want to, my friend. You're living your own special life in whatever world you're living in. And you keep doing it. You keep doing it. If you're posting on social media what you think a man is, you're in the wrong place to begin with. If you're on Twitter and you're posting what a man is, you're some type of shithead. It's funny. I'll see people making these posts on Twitter, and from a sociological perspective, they'll say things like, real men should be out lifting weights, real men should be doing extreme sports, real men should be farming in the field. How the fuck would any of these real men have time to respond to any of your fucking posts at all, really, ever? If they're actually living an authentic life, if they're actually living off the grid, why the fuck do they have a smart device? Get a CB radio. That CB radio is going to be more helpful to you in the near future than that smartphone. Oh my God, Dan, did you just say, yeah. A good friend of mine, well, excuse me, a person that used to be a friend of mine, had fun mocking CB radio. Someone who spends his life talking about decentralization and yet is connected to some of the most centralized technological control mechanisms in human history. That fucker. Yeah, get yourself a fucking CB radio. Better yet, get yourself a ham radio. But probably having a CB radio, at least right now, makes more sense, right? Bottom line is, CB or ham, learn how to use it. Learn how to create an antenna properly, set it up and tune it. Learn how to use that radio. That is going to be more helpful to you than your fucking smart device. Sorry. It's going to be. I don't care that you listen. I don't care if you believe me. I don't care if you do any of these things. That is where I'm at in the game. I don't care. I do and I don't. Some of you send me emails and a few of you donate me money, and I appreciate it. But I don't really give a fuck about what your personal choices are. It's called free will. Those are your fucking choices. If you want to spend all day on social media complaining about Biden and talking about how you're going to vote for Trump and how you saw the sound of freedom and now everything's going to change, if you want to rent out your mind to the deep state, that's your fucking business. It's not mine. We're way too late in the game for a person like me to give a fuck. I'm too close to my particular nadir. I'm too close to the point at which I am going to hit the dirt. Why would I give a fuck about when you hit the dirt? Really? That's where we're at. I pray to Jesus every day that this could be different. And I pray to Jesus to protect the people I love, my family, and my friends. But at the end of the day, when all of this is over, it is God's plan. And as far as the world works, this is not heaven. This is not Eden. This is not the kingdom yet, and this isn't hell. This is the place in between, where consequences happen, where if you fuck around, you find out. And if you're on social media all day talking about what you think a man is and how you wish you had a man, I'm gonna tell you something, and maybe this is specifically targeted towards women. A day is coming in the not too distant future where you're going to find whatever fucking guy you can. Maybe even lesbians will be doing this. Sorry. Sorry that your world's going to turn upside down, and I'm sorry that the technological god is probably going to fail to deliver. So sorry. If you like this podcast, I don't know why, you can donate to it, but listen up. Number one, I'm going to be homeless in a few weeks. And that's an exceptionally nice way of describing it. In a few weeks, I'm going to be gone. So there's very little chance that you're going to hear a podcast from me again after about a month and a half. So if you do donate money, maybe it's going to go right down the shithole. That's number one. Number two, take care of your own food, water, shelter first before you send strangers on the internet money. Okay? If you have to pay rent, if you have to buy food, take care of that first. Number three, if you're setting aside food, like 6 months of food for your family, make sure you set aside food for your pet. Period. And last but not least, it's not the end of the world. Yeah, I think crap's gonna get so fucking crazy that a lot of people will think it's the end of the world, but it's not. Okay, history is what it is. Sometimes it's slow, sometimes it's fast, sometimes it's scary, sometimes it's merry. But the bottom line is, history will do as God will do, and the plan is a mystery, and the likelihood that you're going to figure it out is fucking zero. So sometimes life is easy, and sometimes it's hard, and sometimes it's so hard that you're going to see people you love die. In the space of a couple years, I saw a few people I love die. You know something? That's going to be mild by comparison to what's coming. But right now, where we're at in the game, it's still kind of normal. You can still go to see a movie like Sound of Freedom. You can still buy yourself some popcorn and take your girlfriend to a restaurant. Right now, you can still afford to go to that grocery store and get yourself some food, maybe even some meat. While you can do these things, why not do them? And do those things too before you give some stranger across the internet any of your fucking money. And this just doesn't apply to me. It applies to any grifter out there. Do I think of myself as a grifter? After several fucking years of doing this, after a decade of attempting this, I must be. I must be a giant piece of shit because, or just the worst podcaster ever, right? Who knows? The point is, before you send me money, take care of yourself first. And if you still have a pile of gold and cocaine and diamonds and hookers after all this has been said and done, and you like my podcast, you can send me as much money as you fucking want to. You can send me all your money if you want to. I don't fucking care. For Tuesday, 7-Eleven, Slurpee Day, go get your diabetes bomb, go walk down that city street, go find yourself a hooker named Charlene, go to a dark little alley and fall in love. And maybe a street preacher will marry you. And maybe you'll start a family near a dumpster someplace. Have a great rest of your Tuesday.